Cigars.
And
cinema.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars and Cinema.
Yes, sir.
And today we're talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. Not really, because I hate it.
Me too.
Reality TV.
Reality TV. Now, I'm sure there's tons of podcasts that have addressed it. You've addressed it on another show.
We did, yeah.
I purposely didn't listen to it because I don't want to steal anyone's thunder. And you and Phil do a great job
on that show.
You really do. I'm jealous. I hate you. I'm never going to listen to your show ever again. No, I'm joking. Listen to Love to Hate. It's a great show. But reality TV, the good, the bad, and the definitely ugly.
Super ugly. Yeah. I'm talking about you, Kim Lardashian.
Kim Lardashian.
Yep.
I think I've heard that, but I'm going to credit you anyway for saying that.
Yeah. That's what I always called her because she's just got this giant
behemoth
ass that's so photoshopped.
Okay. So would you?
No, I wouldn't.
No. Never?
No.
To say you bagged a Kardashian?
No.
I agree.
No.
Wholeheartedly? Wholeheartedly.
Yeah,
I agree.
Wholeheartedly
too.
It's like you pay for the toll
the toll to fuck a Kardashian? No, yeah, I'm not going to. Oh, I said the F word. Oh, that's okay.
We're an M-rated show.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah. Exactly.
So.
Reality TV.
Yeah.
Okay. We were talking about this the other day. What do you think the genesis of reality TV? When did it start in your mind? Because we grew up in the 70s.
Yeah.
We're old.
We are, yeah. So for me, the first time that I really took note of reality TV was the MTV days.
Okay.
With, the MTV shows that they had that were reality shows.
The Real World?
Real World, Road Rules, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. That was really kind of when it took off and became a thing.
Yeah.
But I know there was a genesis before that.
Right.
So, yeah, there's
You mentioned in our conversation earlier in our... What limited pre-show prep that we do.
Yeah.
Candid camera. But a lot of that was scripted.
Correct. Yeah.
But, you know, it was presented as reality TV.
Yeah.
Although that term wasn't invented then.
Right.
But, you know.
So a little history here before we get into it.
Okay.
So the first reality TV show was actually in the 70s. 1972, there was a show on PBS that was a reality TV show. Didn't do well at all.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. It was him with the puppets.
Yes, was very reality.
No, but it was a reality show. It was, if you listen to Love to Hate, you get the history of it because Phil knows all about it. He went to school for this shit, so apparently he knows. But
boring. No,
but it was a reality show. It was very reality based. Like, they didn't do a lot of cutting or anything. It was just like, here's a snippet of these people's lives. And it was a horrible, it didn't do anything. It was horrible.
All right.
And then 8 years later, Albert Brooks came out with a movie called Real Life, which was spoofing that show.
Okay.
And they had those people with the big, you know, cameras on their heads.
Exactly.
And, you know, part of the thing that he did in that movie, which is very relevant today, was that he was like, well, this isn't really working for us. There's not a lot going on. So why don't you pretend that he cheated on you and whatever? And they started making
stuff. So they made up stuff.
They made up stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
And which is exactly what reality TV is now.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
To your point, what was the first time you...
My genesis, I mean, of course, I remember Candid Camera.
Yeah.
And, of course, I guess game shows, in a way, can be considered reality TV. And they were huge and rampant in the 70s with Match Game and Tattletales and Password, you know. Because you thought you were seeing these real-life people winning this money.
The Gong Show.
The Gong Show.
Yeah.
Which was American Idol with
stupidity.
People that just, you know,
were sucked at things.
Stupid, yeah. But, you know... Where I get, and I give full credit to this, we were talking about Stephen King books and movies and stuff, and it was a Richard Bachman book, which of course is Stephen King's pseudonym for certain things that he wrote that didn't fit his
genre
or his cup of tea, called The Running Man.
Mm-hmm.
And people know it as an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And it's a very entertaining movie.
It is, yeah. It's one
and
of my
I was actually. Kind of anti-Arnold in the 80s because I got tired of him. Mm-hmm. You know, Terminator and Commando
one,
and stuff.
Was not a good actor, but
no, he's not.
And he wasn't really good at comedy, but it was funny because he was this big dumb male that was stupid, and it was funny hearing him saying these things.
Exactly.
So that's why it worked.
And the premise, as best I know it, because like I said, we do very little show prep.
Yeah,
is it's futuristic America. By the way, 2019.
Right.
So pretty close to where we're at.
Right. Right.
It was 2019, and prisoners that were on death row were sent through this gauntlet, a very maze-like gauntlet, with these badass prisoners. Like Jim Brown plays one, the football legend.
Right.
Jesse Ventura, who at the time wasn't a governor, who was a wrestler and some other people. And it's like, you have to run through this gauntlet. And if you get out, you get a pardon.
Right.
But you're going to die. That's the whole thing. You're going to die.
Nobody's ever gotten out.
Right. Yeah. And so Schwarzenegger gets arrested, and he gets put through the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. Now, the penultimate performance in the movie, ironically enough, is Richard Dawson.
I know, right? Like, who expected
Richard
that?
Dawson from Match Game and from Family Feud. Yeah. That Richard Dawson stole the freaking movie.
Totally.
I mean, he...
Totally.
And, you know, we just mentioned it. Where, what are you talking about? Reality shows. And I mentioned The Running Man. Oh, Richard Dawson should have won an Academy Award for it.
Yep.
He should have.
We said that the other day.
Exactly.
And someone else just said it in the shop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least he should have got nominated.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a game show host. And I gave him. He was awesome in that movie.
He was.
His performance alone is worth watching the movie. But it's awesome to see the futuristic Mary. This was in 85, 86, somewhere in there. So it was 30-something years before now.
Right.
Basically. And... So Arnold has to run the gauntlet, and I think they save like Jim Brown for last. He's the badass. If you get past Jim Brown, you're going to win it. But nobody's ever gotten past Jim Brown,
right? Right.
You know. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you not see the reality?
Oh yeah, totally. You know? Totally. I mean, it's totally. You look at American Gladiator was based off Running Man.
Right,
I mean, that's exactly what it was based off.
Exactly.
It was totally, they took the concept and let's make it to where people don't die, but let's do this thing.
Right.
So that's what it was. I mean, and that was a reality show / game show that did very well for quite a long time.
A long time.
So, yeah. So Running Man to me was like, when I read the Bachman books, it was the story I skipped because just the name of itself, I was like, oh, he's just running. I don't want to read about some dude running all the time. And I hadn't, you know, that was way before the movie came out. So I skipped the story and I went back and read it and I'm like, oh, that's a great story. And then the movie came out like shortly after I read the story. So the movie's completely, I mean, if you read the book and watch the movie, it's totally different, but there's still elements that are there that are the same. And it totally lends itself to the current reality television genre. I mean, it's a lot of things from that were taken and are used to this day. So, you know, Survivor, you could say, the Amazing Race, they're all based on that concept of man against time, man against man. So
My favorite, because of my gal Jill, Wipeout has a lot of elements of
Wipeout
that
has a total
totally
those elements,
you know? And that's one of the few I did watch, not just because of Jill, because it was funny.
That's a fun ass show.
It was a fun show, but still it was basically and we'll get into this movie later, Idiocracy, and their futuristic was called Ow My Balls.
Yeah.
And Wipeout basically became Ow My Balls.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Which is awesome. But no, seriously, watch this movie for the futuristic aspects, for the current situation that we're in now and what we're watching. Of course, people aren't dying and stuff yet.
Yet, being the key word.
But Richard Dawson's performance, and I'll always like to say this, and all the times when Arnold said, I'll be back.
Yep.
You do your Arnold, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Richard Dawson's the only person to ever have a witty comeback to that, because it's a reality show. It's a TV show. Richard Dawson, in his smug, cocky, arrogant way, goes, only in a rerun.
Yep.
It's awesome, because he knows he's going to die in this, or Schwarzenegger's going to die in this gauntlet.
He knows the truth of the show, which is no one survives.
Exactly.
No one survives the race.
Now, you have a funny story about Richard Dawson getting the part.
Yes, correct. So here's the deal. So Schwarzenegger was going to originally do this movie with John McTiernan, who was the guy that directed Die Hard. He wanted to work with McTiernan. You know, it was his guy. He's like, yeah, I want to do this movie with McTiernan. And McTiernan backed out last minute, and they brought in Paul Michael Glazer, who's, you know, Hutch, I guess.
Or Starsky or Hutch, one of the two.
One of the two. And Schwarzenegger wasn't interested at that point. But then Richard Dawson got tacked on. He's like, Richard Dawson? Richard Dawson sits him down and goes, hey, look, here's the deal. He goes, I'm going to bring my A game to this, and you're going to see the true Richard Dawson. They told me to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do my thing. So I'm going to be a complete asshole, and you're going to have someone really awesome to work against. And Arnold's like, all right, we'll see what's what. Interested him at that point,
And so, Dawson was very congenial on screen. I mean, I loved Richard Dawson. I loved him on Match Game. I really loved him on Family Feud. But you always hear these stories that he was horrible to his staff. He was a perfectionist to the nth degree. And if you fucked up in any way, shape, or form, Richard Dawson was on your fucking ass.
He was like the game show equivalent of James Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he brings that to the role.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of daring for him to have done that, because he was conceived by the American public as a very affable, amicable kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And for him to pull back the curtain and say, no, this is the stories you've heard, yeah, they're true. This is who I am.
Yep. This is from IMDb trivia. Many people who worked with Richard Dawson on game show Family Feud 1976 say that in real life, Dawson was much like his character, Damian Killian. Great name, by the way.
Yeah, great name.
In his handling of underlings. So, he was an asshole. He was a nice guy.
Yeah. And I saw a Match Game documentary, and it was called Behind the Blank. Great title for the documentary.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Match Game, watch Game Show Network. It was the best show, game show of the 70s, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
But Richard Dawson was always the one that all the guests always picked. This, you have to pick a celebrity to match. And they always picked Richard because Richard always matched them. It was great. But, you know, but then to see him pull back the curtain and say, oh, but anyway, on this match, I remember where it was going. The Match Game documentary. Charles Nelson Reilly, Brett Summers, Betty White. Mm-hmm. They all hated him. And they couldn't stand the guy. They couldn't wait. They knew from day one he was pitching Goodson and Todman, who were the big production people. If you watched any game show of the 70s, it was a Mark Goodson, Phil Todman? Somebody Todman. Production. And he,
again, no all show
he
prep.
Wanted, yeah, he wanted his own game show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he got it with Family Feud. But they were like, when he got his Family Feud, they were like, thank God. This guy's gone.
Right.
But you never saw that on screen.
No, you never did. It's all the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. Funny, always had quick jokes and stuff, you know.
And that's the thing. I mean, you can be an actor and be like the best guy in the world. Everybody loves you, you know, but behind the scenes, you can be a total ass. And that we've heard so many stories of that, but I think people kind of turn that off and don't want to believe that. I think really the first time that I can think of in existence that curtain really got pulled and people turned against an actor, to me at least. Now, this happened before, I'm sure, but Tom Cruise was really the first one that people just turned against him. When he jumped on the couch and got all crazy on Oprah, people went, this guy's fucking nuts.
He's what's nuts. Going on?
Yeah, and then you found out about the whole Scientology thing.
Well, he always knew about the Scientology thing, but he kept it quiet.
Really, yeah.
But then with the Katie Holmes and jumping up on the... It's like, come on.
Have you seen the video of him talking about...
Yes, and then he came on Matt Lauer.
None. Sense
and then he goes
all.
On Matt Lauer. You can be a Christian and a Scientologist. And Matt Lauer's like, how? You know, tell me. How explain that? And he's like, he couldn't explain it. You know, it was just ridiculous. But that was one. You see it a lot. You know, Tara Reid.
Yeah.
Who we've met, who was actually really cool.
Very nice. Yeah.
But
very cool,
you know, she had a blow up one time, and apparently that's all you hear about is that Tara Reid's an ass.
Yeah. Right.
It's hard to work with. She's a bitch, and you know, we met her. She was cool as shit, but not name dropping, but we are name dropping. But anyway, Running Man started it. The first thing after that, I guess, would be Real World.
Yeah, yeah. In our lifetime, that's when it really kind of became
and,
a thing.
While he's a horrible comedian and a horrible actor, I had tickets to go see Pauly Shore one time.
No, God.
I know. At an improv. And it was right when Real World was popular, and he said, anybody watch MTV's Real World? And, of course, the audience cheers and stuff. He goes, yeah, it's not the real world. You want to see the real world? Watch me wipe my ass when I take a shit. I'm like, exactly. Only funny line I ever heard Pauly Shore ever say.
Wow. Yikes.
Yeah. But then I guess after that, you know, then we had Survivor and The Amazing Race and The Mole and, what was the one where he ate shit? Fear Factor.
Fear Factor was so gross. I mean, I watched it, you know, and...
I watched it like the first season, and I was done, you know. And then you had, you know, the people that produced Fear Factor, when it ran its course, people said, why don't you do a family show? And it's the same people that did Fear Factor that did Wipeout.
Really?
So they came up with a family show of, and it's funny, watch Wipeout. It's the only reality show I can actually endorse.
Is it still out? Is it still on?
No, not anymore. But you can see it on in syndication and Amazon Prime. It's on there. You can see it.
Yeah.
But you know, I never got into it. I never liked it. It annoyed the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I remember when American Idol first started. What was the other guy's name? It was Ryan Seacrest and Dorfman or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, he just disappeared. Yeah.
And they got, and I liked Ryan Seacrest. I said, before anyone else said, of course, I'm sure a billion other people said it, I said, Ryan Seacrest is our generation's Dick Clark. Mm-hmm. And I believed that. He had his own radio show. He had his top 40. He was on everything. And then all of a sudden, I found out he was producing Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And I have been, to use his own phrase, Seacrest out since then. You know, it's like, I'm done.
Yeah. So name another movie that has two U.S. governors in it. besides Running Man?
I read that yesterday, and I can't think there isn't one, is there?
Well, there is. Predator.
Oh, yeah. Same two guys.
Yeah.
Arnold and Jesse Ventura. Yeah.
Right, right. But that's cool, though. I mean, think about that. That's good.
Two governors. Yeah.
But now, if Ronald Reagan was in the movie with them, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would have also had three governors and a president.
Right,
at the same
right.
time, that would have been badass.
Yep.
But were you into any reality show at all other than... I know you watched Wipeout.
I watched Survivor first season. Okay. Watched American Idol for a couple of seasons, and then I kind of got burned out on it. Mm-hmm. That's really about it for me. I tried to watch... Real World,
Real World
on MTV,
because I never got into that.
Girls that were watching it, and I was trying to talk with them at work.
Yeah,
and
if you
stuff,
wanted to have something to talk to girls about, you talk to Real World.
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, Puck's hilarious. No, he's an asshole. Like, okay, I'll stop watching now. Because
they need fucking Jersey Shore, which was garbage. I've never seen 1 second of Jersey Shore.
No, you don't need
other
to
than
it.
Highlights, yeah. You know, and I'm happy about that. I'm so glad I never watched Jersey Shore. But, you know, the whole. Yeah, I just. Couldn't get into any of it. I mean, I did watch American Idol for a few years, if you call that a reality show. I guess you do. Mm. Is the vote skewed? Maybe. Although some people that were really good did get voted off. So
Correct.
Some of the most successful ones. Jennifer Hudson won a freaking Oscar, and she got voted off.
Right.
Chris Daughtry's still doing stuff, you know. Clay Aiken had a big run for a while.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe it is more actual reality. But, you know, the only things I watch nowadays are Pawn Stars, and that's been proven to not be a reality show.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
you watch Grizzly Men or one of those?
I watch Mountain Men, a lot of that, you know, a bear attacks their camp, and then I read an interview, the guy says, yeah, they had to redo that so that they could actually get it on footage. It's
wow.
Then that's not a reality show.
Right, yeah. You know?
If you're having to reshoot it, it's not a reality show.
It's a dude in a bear suit.
There was one show that so far hasn't convinced me it's fake.
Yeah.
But it probably could. It's Which called Alone.
Okay.
And they send 10 people out to remote areas of, it's a Vancouver Island, so way up in Canada.
Yeah.
And they put them in different areas, like 4 or 5 miles apart. And they get to pick 10 items from like a 40-item list. And they have to film themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So all the footage is them filming themselves. So there's no camera crew. There's no anything.
Huh.
So you get bad footage and stuff because sometimes they don't get the right shot. And so far, I'm convinced that's as close to actual reality as you can get. And I actually enjoy the show. It's actually fun. It's a game show. They put 10 people out, and the last one to not give up wins $500,000. So it's kind of cool. But the reason why, and of course, you can all fake everything in Hollywood. We know this. There was a girl. She was trying to, I think she was trying to trim some wood.
Yeah.
To make some kindling with a hatchet, and she hits her hand.
Oh no!
And it gushes blood.
Yeah.
And they showed like after the season, they did a went back and. And they showed her in the hospital getting stitches and stuff, and she can't move her thumb because of it. So, of course, like I said, it could be staged. You don't know.
Yeah.
But it's still presented in a way that I'm going to still buy it as reality for now.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't watch any of it.
Yeah. I don't have cable. I haven't had cable in like 12, 13 years at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not exposed to it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, most I'm exposed to it is when as a cigar rep, I'm in shops and there's TV on.
Right.
And I'll see people, switch it to Mountain Men or switch it to whatever, you know, Road Ice Truck Road Guys, whatever the hell that show's called.
I watch like 5 minutes of that show.
Yeah.
It sucks.
You know, so that, I mean, I see it there, but for the most part, it just all seems very
false. What's the one about their fishing and stuff?
Alaska?
I don't remember.
You got me.
Something. I don't know.
Muppets?
Yeah, it's just.
You got me.
You know, and there's this one called Alaskan People, I think. I don't remember what channel it's on. And I got into it. It's this family that live out in the bush. That's what it's called. When you live out in the woods, you live out in the bush.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
Bush. Liked it the first season. It's this family. They're living, blah, blah, blah. And I was really getting into it. So I started the second season and stuff. And I decided, hey, let's Google these people. And I realized they got sued for faking everything. They live in Texas, and they're pretending that they live in Alaska. They're living in the woods. And two of them got arrested. Because they're pretending that they live in Alaska. Because, you know, in Alaska, you get this, like, tax credit. And I know because my ex-wife's son lived in Alaska. And you get a tax credit for, like, $8,000-$10,000, depending on how many kids you got in your family.
Yeah.
So he and his son, the dad and his son, applied for it, and they got it. And they realized, wait, you guys live in Texas.
Right, right.
So they got sued for it, and they spent, like, 90 days in jail for it. So that's reality. I like that. That's kind of cool. No, but the show sucks.
Yeah.
And my roommate was watching it the other night. I'm like, dude, that show is fake.
Yeah.
So check out this website. He's like, oh man, I liked that show. You showed me that shit. I'm like, yeah, it's right. Fake.
Yeah. Welcome to reality of reality TV. Exactly. It's not really real. So, Running Man was pretty unique at the time. And back, I want to say in the early, like late 90s, early 2000s, there was a Japanese movie called Battle Royale, which came out and kind of came and went. And it really didn't get much play in the U.S., but it was about a bunch of students that were bad students and got sent to this island to compete against each other. And it was a fight to the death. And everybody gets one weapon. They get assigned a weapon when they get to the classroom. They listen, they watch this video that's ridiculous about, hey, you're going to fight each other. And it's all happy-go-lucky. You're going to fight each other to death. This is great. Here's you're going to get one weapon. Yay! You know, it's all like Japanese. And then they get the weapon and whatever. And it's like they just grab it out of a bag. And it's like a frying pan, or it could be a gun, or it could be a knife, or it could be a brick. You know, they don't know what it is. And but it was a great movie. It was fantastic, you know, super ultra violent, great flick. And at that time, I thought, this is completely original, until I watched Running Man again. I'm like, wait a minute. This is basically the Running Man. But instead of having guys hunt them down, they're hunting each other. And then you had Hunger Games come out, which basically reuses the same idea. So everything old is new again in Hollywood.
Yeah. And you mentioned it, and I couldn't tell you the name of this movie, but when Wipeout came out, it was a smash hit. So ABC decided to jump on it, and they came out with a I'm in a Japanese game show or something like that. And they tried to make it a Japanese, and it bombed. But I saw a movie, and I couldn't tell you the name of it. But it's the same premise that you're mentioning. It's these Running Man situation, but it's like 10 of them. And they're running through this maze, and there's like a Jason character and a Freddy character and this kind of stuff. Well, this one guy gets the upper hand, and he gets the jump on one of the killers. He pulls a knife on him, and the dude breaks character. Dude, man, I'm just acting. I got kids and stuff. Please don't kill me. I was like, you're trying to kill me. And, I don't remember what it's called, but it's a Japanese movie. And it like broke character to show that the people that were the badasses were actually human. And it was actually an interesting take on the genre. Very interesting movie.
Yeah. You don't know what it was called?
No.
Shit. I gotta look that up. So there was a dance number in The Running Man, if you remember.
Yes, and I know who did the choreography.
Choreography? I said that you're from Texas, aren't you?
I said the choreography. The choreography.
There you go.
Miss Paula Abdul.
That's right, exactly. Of American Idol fame. Yes. And whatever songs she had that were famous, I don't remember.
Straight up now, tell me, do you really want to love me forever? Oh, oh, oh. Yeah,
never do that again.
No. Yes, I sang a Paula Abdul song.
Paula Abdul was hot back in the day, man. She was like a little gnome, though. She was like 4 foot nothing.
Her boobs were nice on American Idol.
Oh, yeah, just right up there. Okay. Plain as day.
Do you remember the black guy in 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yes.
Romy Malco, I think is his name.
Yeah.
People always said he wrote. No, people always said he was the black guy in that Opposites Attract video of hers.
No.
He wrote it.
He wrote Opposites Attract?
Yeah.
The guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Wrote
40, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
How did that Learned song go? Something Brandon Montes sang some of that song for us.
I don't remember that song. I remember the video with the stupid animated.
We come together because opposites attract.
That had the cartoon wolf thing, right?
Yeah, and I run up the stairs.
She
always had to run upstairs. And
she was a lot of running upstairs,
Remember that video she did with Keanu Reeves? She's under a waterfall and her water's hitting her boobs. Nice.
No. What video? I have to look that up now. I don't know what video.
It's her second
album. Reeves was
Keanu Reeves was in her
Was that
video.
Back in his like Bill and Ted days or something? After, he was still young?
Before Speed. After Bill and Ted.
That's a guy who had a much better career than I ever thought he would have. Keanu Reeves.
And he can actually act when he wants to.
Yeah.
The Gift.
The Gift is very
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, he was very good in that. And that's the last time I ever saw him act.
You need to watch John Wick. John Wick is badass.
I've heard that.
Really cool.
I'll watch it. Really I don't hate cool Keanu. Movie. My ex-wife and I used to watch Speed twice a year. That was in our regular rotation.
Yeah. Well, Speed's great in spite of him. I think Dennis Hopper and Jeff Daniels kind of steal the show.
And Sandra Bullock.
And Sandra Bullock, too. Yeah, Sandra Bullock steals the show, too.
The worst delivery of a line ever.
Which one?
Harry, you told me to.
Oh, you shot me.
You shot me, a prick. Harry, you told me to.
Right.
Really? That's all you got?
That's all you
That's
got.
That's how you got it.
I like Dennis Hopper, though. Dennis Hopper's off the rails.
Dennis Hopper's great.
You're trying to keep the bomb from becoming. So off the rails on that, but so great.
When Dennis Hopper went big, it was
like
badass.
His best big movies, Speed and Waterworld.
He was awesome.
Waterworld is Waterworld because of him. I mean, that's the reason that movie's watchable is because Dennis Hopper.
It's like, he goes, tell me where the Mariner is or whatever, the Costco character. Tell me where he is. No, you'll kill me. I won't kill you. He tells him, he goes,
kill him.
The guy, he goes, you said you wouldn't kill me. I probably did. I probably did. Kill him. Tells the other guy, kill him. I probably did. So
great. You know, Dennis Hopper's one of those actors that I really didn't get when I was a kid because I just, you know, Easy Rider. I didn't really like that movie. And,
thank you. I've never liked Easy Rider.
I know. It just didn't really do anything for me.
Other than Born to Be Wild, there is nothing valuable.
Jack Nicholson's funny in it, but he overacts, and that's Jack Nicholson back then. He just overacted.
Jack Nicholson overacts? I've never heard about that.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Okay.
You haven't seen that? See Batman?
Just joking. I was tongue in cheek.
Joker. Yeah. He is Joker in Batman. Yeah. It's funny because that's, you know, I hated him as the Joker back then when it came out. I watched it recently. I'm like, you know what?
He was the only redeeming value to me. Kim Basinger. He and Kim Basinger were the only Basingers, or however you pronounce her freaking name.
Yeah.
I think it's Basinger. But
I just know boobs.
Yeah.
She's got nice
her
boobs.
And Jack Nicholson is the only reason why I like that movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Michael Keaton was a great Batman. I don't know. Was he? I don't know. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was good. I liked him in the first one. The second one, he got overshadowed by the villains, and that's why he left the series, so whatever. But Running Man, great flick. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. If you haven't seen it, what the hell are you doing? It's definitely one of the five Schwarzenegger movies you need to watch.
Yeah.
I would say if you're going to watch any Schwarzenegger movies, my personal favorite is True Lies. I think True Lies is the best overall movie he made.
True Lies.
Probably the best James Cameron movie ever made. I would even say more so than Terminator or Terminator 2, but
most
that's just
fun.
Me.
It was just fun.
It's just got a great cast.
Tom
was Arnold
badass
is great
in that
movie,
awesome
which
in that movie.
You can never say of any other movie. He's really good in that movie.
Yeah.
He steals the show, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jamie
Lee Curtis looked amazing. And
exactly. So just fantastic movie. One of my top 10 for me.
Okay.
As far as if I'm going to have one action movie in my top 10 list, it's going to be True Lies.
Yeah.
It's greatness. Because it's got everything. It's got comedy, drama, you know, family oriented. It's, you know, got great action sequences, a good bad guy that's, you know something about. And just so fun. I mean, there's so many little funny, quirky things. Like, I love the scene in True Lies when the guy's recording him doing his little spiel of this terror spiel.
Yeah.
It's like, Aziz, battery ran out. I just thought that was
awesome.
Fucking awesome.
That was badass.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
I was laughing so
hard.
And when
he's got that sodium pentothal or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to break a neck.
I'm going to. He said, did you really call those people, Harry? Yeah, but they were all bad. I'm going to break your neck, and I'm going to grab the knife and then throw it at that guy, whatever he says.
Exactly, then he does everything.
He does exactly
awesome.
What he says he's going to do.
And, you know, I remember reading a review, and I did at the time. I wasn't into the Thin Man movies. I'd never seen
them. Yeah.
But they were like, this is going to be a theme. Jamie Lee Curtis and Arnold's working. They're going to be the new Nick and Nora. And they probably should have been. They would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's an expensive movie to make and everything.
Yeah.
So what are your five Schwarzenegger? So you said True Lies.
So True Lies is number one for me. Number two is Predator. Number three is the original Terminator. Number four would be Running Man. And number five is kind of up in there. It's between Terminator 2 and Conan the Barbarian. So that's
that's
mine.
That's a good list.
Yeah.
I'm going to not do Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Because he's big and he might hurt, but that's okay. But no, I'm going to do Stephen King films.
Okay.
And this will include Bachman stuff.
Okay.
And you'll notice a theme, and we've talked about it already.
It's mostly all Bachman stuff, yeah.
Well, Bachman / short stories.
Yeah.
Shawshank's awesome.
Yeah, Shawshank's great.
The fact that we met William Sadler is badass.
Is awesome.
That's badass.
So cool, too.
Name dropping.
I know, but just but I was so happy that he didn't, just shut me down with the whole...
No, and he did that thing. I was like... damn right. Yeah. Actors hate...
Best two out of three? Damn right.
Actors hate to quote their own lines.
And
he
know,
did it for
did
us
it.
Without us asking. It was awesome.
Without a hit, he just did it. It was awesome.
And, you know... I'd heard he was a dick, and then we met him, and he was the coolest dude.
He was so
ever.
Nice, so nice.
And he was almost too nice. Hey guys, how you doing? It was like,
right?
Dude, who are you, man?
I know
you're always a dick. And no, he wasn't, but no, he's good. But then, okay, so I'm gonna go. What did I
Shawshank
just say? Shawshank Misery, which is actually full length, and it is Running Man.
Okay.
Stand By Me.
Yes.
And I just drew a blank. Hang on. Give me a second. Give me a second. Carrie. I love Carrie.
Carrie? Yeah.
Yeah.
No Pet Sematary? No Salem's Lot?
Pet Sematary is my favorite book he's written.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the book.
The movie suffers.
The movie sucked.
I think I still enjoy the movie in spite of itself, but I enjoyed it because I love the book so much that I'm like, okay, they didn't totally fuck it up, but they did.
That's how I felt it. They didn't fuck it up.
But,
I remember reading the book. I loved The Old Man.
Yeah.
And when I found out Fred Gwynne played The Old Man, and he played it great, I was like, oh, that's cool. I loved that part of it. But you can't translate some stuff from a book to you just can't.
Yeah, exactly.
And the emotion of, you know, why did he dig up? They knew it was going to fail. Remember in the book?
Yeah.
When he comes back, I'll kill him immediately.
Yeah.
In the movie, you couldn't see that. You couldn't see his thought process. It was like he's just buried his son, so he'll come back and be like. No, in the book, he's like, I'll kill him.
The right director could have done it justice, I think. Yeah. And I think that's really one that's worthy of a remake. I think if Hollywood's remaking some stupid shit right now, they really need to, like, Magnificent Seven does not need to be remade.
No.
It's going to be shit. I'm sorry. It's probably going to be.
We're going to go see it.
Yeah. And I propose this to you. Okay. Let's watch Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
And then we'll go see the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do a compare and contrast. I'll even watch Seven Samurai because I have that on DVD. Just to kind of throw that in there in the mix as well. But yeah, I think that's the best way to do that. But they're remaking a lot of stupid crap. They need to look at stuff that should have worked but didn't. Like Pet Sematary, like The Stand, they tried The Stand twice on TV, the second time on TV.
I didn't mind the Gary Sinise one. It wasn't great, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
But it was okay.
Okay, so for me, like, I loved that they remade Ocean's 11 because the original Ocean's 11 was really not a good movie.
I mean, a good movie, but I loved the ending.
Yeah, I know.
And we didn't get that ending in this one.
I get that, but I thought that was a good idea to remake because the original really wasn't good. So let's take something and redo it and make it better. I thought that idea was a good idea. drink something. That'll help.
I'm doing my Doc Holliday impression here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Piss on you, Wyatt. Oh, by the way,
it's official. I hate him.
So the Doc Holliday guy that played Doc Holliday at the gunfight thing, mm-hmm. not a good Doc Holliday.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's bad. It was. I mean, I thought it was going to be like a recreation in the street. I was excited about that, and then you go around the corner.
Is this on air?
And it's this is on air.
Okay,
whatever.
Cool.
You go around the corner, and it's like Six Flags. They have a fake set. I'm like, aw. Like, the real place is right there.
It's there. It's right over there.
I can see it.
No, they have, like,
it.
Cardboard cutouts.
Yeah,
of it. It's like, a real place.
I can see it. It's right there. Let's just do it right there. And they didn't do that. I'm like, oh, man, I paid $10 for nothing.
Nothing.
You know? But
It was still 10 bucks. Come on.
Yeah.
You know,
I definitely want to go back. Those that don't know who aren't informed here, I went to Tombstone and got to actually walk around the streets of Tombstone, which is very cool.
I'm jealous.
It's also very Six Flags-y. It's also very commercial. And I was kind of let down because some of the stuff that I really wanted, like I wanted to go to the Dragoon Saloon and have a drink.
Yeah.
And it's closed down because it didn't do well and someone hasn't bought the space yet. And I'm like,
that sucks.
Come on.
I guess I need to do it. It's been 20-something years, so let's do another White Earth movie, you know? Let's do
right,
it.
Right.
Let me write it. I will write a great White Earth movie.
Yeah?
I could do a great White
Earth movie. You're going to go off of what's
the name?
I'll
just tell the story.
Okay.
It's a great story. Yeah, so let's do another White Earth movie. We'll help the economy in Tombstone. And
right.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. But you definitely got to go. If you haven't been to Tombstone, if you're in Arizona area, take the hour and a half trip away from Tucson and go to Tombstone. It's worth
a little side note. Brandon brought back a copy of the Tombstone Epitaph.
Yes.
From the day after the gunfight at the OK Corral, because that's what it's known as, even though it didn't happen there. And he's been had his nose buried in that paper since Matt. Did I not say that? Yeah, he gave it to Matt, and Matt's just had his nose buried in it since it happened.
I was the same way, man. I got back to the hotel, and I was like, I'm going to read it a little bit, and then like I just couldn't stop reading it. I read every single thing like front to back. Yeah. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
and it's just so weird seeing the way that they wrote back then and. Uh-huh. The context of everything and the detail is actually there's a lot of detail in the stories that were told. They talked to a lot of people who saw it, like the lady that worked across the street that saw it, and she like, I saw this much of it, but then I got scared and I went behind the counter.
Right. Yeah.
It's really cool getting all those details.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd had time to go on the tour because they have a stagecoach. You pay, I think it's like $25 to go on the stagecoach, and it's like an hour tour around Tombstone. You get all the history.
Yeah.
I wish I'd had time to do that, but I'll definitely do that next time.
Yeah.
So.
That would have been cool.
It would have been very cool.
Let's do a Tombstone reality show.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
It would be badass.
Yeah. So it's cool, though. It's definitely cool if you haven't been to Tombstone. Check it out. And there's a lot of cool stuff I've heard around there, too. Kirk from Poolside Cigar Reviews told me, he's like, you know, go to Tombstone, but also go here and go there because there's all kinds of history.
Where the Curly Bell thing happened.
Exactly. There's a lot of history there. And it's less commercialized and you get more of a in-depth version of it. So I'm going to do that next time for sure.
And I am so remiss.
Yeah.
I was friends with Glenn Boyer, the epitome of White Earth research. And he invited me to come out to Arizona, and he was going to take me everywhere.
Oh, you should have done that.
All I had to do was pay for his gas.
Yeah.
That's all I had to do. He was going to show me where Curly Bill got killed, where they killed Frank Stillwell. Oh,
Ah, that sucks.
It does suck.
And is there any connection there with wives or family or something?
No, his wife's dead now. It sucks.
That's too bad.
Could have done it.
Yeah. Could have, should have, would have. One of those Bummer. Regrets.
Yep.
Yeah,
that happens. You know.
So yeah,
there was a blonde. I could have. Never mind.
He was a blonde with big boobs. He would have been like, "I'm there. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll pay for the flight. Don't care how much gas. Whatever.
That's Do right. It. That's right."
So yeah, definitely check out The Running Man and reality TV sucks. And that's pretty much all I have.
Try Alone. See what you think.
Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it on? What?
It's History.
History Channel.
Okay.
Which no longer shows history.
I know, it's all.
That was one of the things we talked about on Love to Hate. It was the History Channel and Biography Channel.
A&E does a lot.
A&E, yeah, they just all show reality shows now. Yeah. Not a lot of history on there anymore, which sucks.
And if you see the White Earp documentary on History Channel, don't pay attention to it.
Really? Was it bad?
It's so false.
Really?
I watched 30 minutes of it and could pick out like 18 things they said wrong.
What do they use as a source? Did you look at the credits at the end to see?
Some of the guys, Bob Bozbell, Gary Roberts.
Mm.
I could bore you with other people, but
yeah,
they all hated my buddy Glenn, so they always come up their own stuff. And
That's too bad.
So, yeah, whatever.
So, back to
reality. Go ahead.
No, well, I want to ask you about Wyatt Earp real quick. So out of all the Wyatt Earp stuff that was out there, let's, you know, My Darling Clementine. Uh-huh. That was Wyatt Earp, right?
Yeah.
And then Wyatt Earp and Tombstone.
Gunfight at the OK Corral.
Yeah. What's the most accurate?
Accurate and getting the most right is Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp. Okay.
But it's long and it's tedious. And I understand that.
I don't mind it because it's long for the right reasons.
Yeah.
It's not. I really don't think there's anything. And there's probably some stuff you could take out of it. Maybe long shots and whatnot. Yeah, you know. Right. But that just goes to the feel of the movie and, you know, the expanse of the Old West. And that's fine.
And
that's fine.
And Tombstone gets a lot right, gets a lot way wrong. Mm. And that's the problem. I mind if you get some stuff wrong. Just don't add a bunch of shit. You know, that Mexican wedding thing, that never happened.
Yeah.
White didn't go around killing a bunch of people at the end of the guy with smoking the opium gun. I mean,
that
shit didn't happen. He killed three guys on the Vendetta, you know. And they make him kill like 12.
Right.
You know, and then
it looked cool though, right?
It did. It was awesome. It was fun. It was popcorn movie.
Yeah.
I've got something. I meant to, because I just read an article on Nicholas Earp.
Okay.
White Earp's dad.
All right.
And of course, they had to list, you know, who they thought were the best White Earps or the best Doc Hollidays and everything. You know who I think the best White Earp of all time was?
Hmm.
I'm not talking accuracy, just the way he played him.
Okay.
Was Henry Fonda.
Okay.
And My Darling Clementine. I think the way he carried himself as Wyatt Earp was probably as close as you're going to get to watching the real Wyatt Earp. Very laconic, very matter of fact, very business.
Yeah.
You know, put up with Doc. You know, Costner tried to copy Fonda, and he's mentioned that Fonda's one of his idols, so I'm sure he tried to copy him a lot.
He acts a lot like him. Yeah. It's very understated.
But Henry Fonda's the best Wyatt Earp of all time. The movie's a fun movie, but it's not accurate in any way, shape, or form.
I liked that movie when I was growing up.
I did too.
It's a cool flick, yeah.
And it's a great title, My Darling Clementine. What a great title, you know. But,
Interesting.
I thought I'd shock you with not saying Costner was the best Wyatt Earp. No, Henry Fonda, is the best Wyatt Earp.
Interesting. Okay. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I'll have to revisit that.
Yeah. It's very laconic, and I always like that word, laconic. Yeah.
Laconic.
And I like to present
that doesn't have anything to do with lactosing, right?
No, not lactosing. That's something totally different.
Okay, right.
Something totally different. Laconic. And, you know, I love Tom Landry. Tom Landry is very laconic. I like that, you know.
Definitely.
And I had a boss one time who said that I'm too laconic.
Why?
He said he likes me better when I'm verbose and out there and in each other people's
spaces. So you need to drink more, basically.
Yeah, that's basically what I was told.
He likes drunk Randy.
And I do like drunk Randy.
Yeah.
But when I'm producting business? Conducting business. Not producting business.
When you're lactating business. Yes.
I like to be somewhat businesslike, and then we close the deal. Then I'll shoot the shit and be Mr. Fun Guy. But
right.
I try to keep it separate, you know?
Yeah. I get it. You know? There's time for business and there's time for fun. And once you get the sale, then it's fun time.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. So, yeah, and that's
how I do. That's how I do too. Yeah.
But I'm laconic. I like that
You're
word.
Laconic.
I like that word.
Yeah.
I like that on my tombstone. Very laconic.
Randy Rankin. Very laconic.
Except when he was drunk.
Right.
Yeah, funny. That's our best episode ever.
I don't know about that.
If you edit out my coughing. Well, I was just doing my best Doc Holliday impression. It was all I was trying to do during this whole thing. That's all I was doing. I'm a method actor.
I like that guy. He makes me laugh.
Horrible delivery.
I know. So he had so many. Kurt Russell is good in certain movies, but other movies he just really doesn't bring his A game.
No.
And Tombstone was all over the place. And I think I heard that he directed like 90% of the movie. Yeah. I think when he doesn't direct, he's better. Like for me, one of the best Kurt Russell movies probably is Breakdown. I think Breakdown is like him at his best.
Great movie. Love that movie.
Yeah. Because he's very understated. You know, he's very, it's all in the eyes. It's more eye acting and emotional face acting.
Yeah.
And he's not doing the Jack Burton kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Snake Plissken overacting kind of
tough
guy. And
see, I like the reason why I like Death Wish.
Yeah.
People think, oh, Charles Bronson. And all they think about is when he goes around shooting people.
Right, right.
He was a pacifist. Mm-hmm. He didn't, you know, he got driven into that. Mm-hmm. And it bothered him the first time he killed somebody. It was like, you know, it was like, oh, shit, this isn't me.
Right.
But then he has to become that. And I like it when the actor goes from, he's forced into it.
Right, right.
And I like seeing that transformation.
Yeah.
Snake Plissken just walks out, just starts killing people. Yeah. You know?
And I thought, you know, Stallone did that effectively in First Blood,
And Copland. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Topland's big. He should have got an Oscar for that.
I mean, yeah.
Easily. If he was going to get an Oscar for anything, it should have been Copland.
Yeah. Or Creed, but nevertheless. But yeah. Copland, yeah. But no, I don't. I've always liked the everyman actor in a tough guy movie. Untouchables.
Yeah.
L.A. Ness was a pussy.
Yep. Jimmy Stewart.
Until Sean Connery says, they put one of yours in the hospital, you put one of them in the morgue. That's Chicago way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Jimmy Stewart was always that way, you know?
They send one of yours to the hospital, you send one of theirs to the morgue.
Good one. There you go.
That's the Chicago way. That's how you get Capone.
I was at a store the other day real quick, because I know we're going to finish this.
Yeah.
And he couldn't say one word in the sentence. He goes, I got a line from a movie. He goes, it's an old movie. You're not going to get this. And I said, okay. And he goes, that's my steak. You pick it up. And I go, Liberty Balance. Manage that Liberty Balance.
Yeah.
He goes, but that's my steak, Liberty. And he goes, yeah, no, I couldn't say that. I'm like, yeah. But it's, remember that scene? I love that scene. Jimmy Stewart's a waiter, and he's bringing a steak.
Yep.
And Lee Marvin played Liberty, trips him, and he drops a steak.
Right.
He goes, pick it up, fella. Yep. Pick it up, yellow guy. And John Wayne stands up. That was my steak, Liberty. You pick it up. That's awesome. That's a great scene.
That's a great flick, man.
Great movie.
You know, and we talk about Jimmy Stewart, and you met him and everything. That's great. I hate you for that. But
very cool.
He was great at that. He was great at the guy that was forced to be into something. You know, you look at like Frenzy, you look at, Naked Spur, all these movies he did where he's just like forced into these situations and he played it so well. Yeah,
exactly.
Played it so well.
But he could also be a badass. Man from Laramie, he was a badass from the get-go in that movie. He's like, fuck you,
I
love it.
I kind of wish I was around then so I could see what people were like, oh, he's going to be in that role? Like, I don't know if he can do that, you know. But he definitely pulled it off, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, back to reality shows. Running Man, Wipeout.
Yeah.
That's about it.
right. Yeah.
Alone, maybe give it a shot, see what you think.
Yeah. I'll check it out. I'll get a couple episodes on the old VOD or whatever.
Yeah, it's on.
Is that on Amazon or something?
Season two's over, so go back to season one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, so where can they find us, Randy?
We are at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and that's about it. Twitter.
Yep. What's your Twitter handle?
At RandyRankin43.
At Captain Funky Pants.
RandyRankin95 on Instagram.
And Cigar_Luna on Instagram.
Randy Rankin on Facebook.
Brandon J. Luna on Facebook.
And there we go.
There you go.
And check out Calypso Cigars. Calypso Cigars. Calypso Cigars.
Calypso.
Eclipse. I eclipsed some of their name, rather.
Right.
Eclipse of Cigars in Richardson, Texas.
Yeah, definitely do that. And if you're in the area, check them out. It's a great shop. They got a lot of cool stuff and a great staff. So as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.